Session number 16585, Karen Churchill, Reel 6.
Karen Churchill, Reel 6. Going to Munich, it must have been interesting, because you've had experience of the two Germanies, did you
yes.
not? What
yes.
was it? Did it strike you as being different in 1950?
Yes.
Would that have
yes.
been the Americans?
Yes,
Americans. Which was then merged with the
yes.
British and
yes.
French, wasn't it?
Yes, but yes. it was mainly American. Mm. And they were, of course, domineering everything and also bringing in their way of life, which of course they do. And there was so much about and jazz and Glenn Miller, and which of course is lovely in a way, but completely different to the Russian music. They are so melancholic, and you listen to the Russian music, and out comes the handkerchief, you see, and this sort of thing, and this, the concertina, and this sort of thing. And there, it's so different, so different. And there was more in the shops. There was much more in the shops, you see. And also, there was still, there was bomb damage still about. So I still have an old photograph of the house behind where we were making our little room. All the bomb rubble still there. So Munich suffered as well. But I noticed the difference in, of course, the American influence. More from the music again. Probably I seem to have more ear for that. And the difference between the Russians and the Americans there.
Did you like it better?
I don't know. I had to get used to it somehow, whether like or not. At first, you see, I was singing all these Russian songs, and they go straight to the soul, you see, this sort of straight to the soul. And then I thought, the American songs are very light-hearted and playful and light-hearted, and you have to get used to it from that profound way of life and the seriousness of thinking as such. But you get used to it somehow, and then I learned to read the lovely lightness of it. And of course we didn't have much. My father was extremely protective of us as girls, me as a girl, of course. No, you're not going dancing. Lipstick, out of it. No. Dear sir, but Dad, I want the lipstick. What do you want with the lipstick? and then he said, have a little grain of salt, rub it in, it makes your lips red. Oh dear. But I then in the art school, Academy of Art, of course, Professor Stadler and Professor Henselmann, and they were marvelous, marvelous artists. Humane, with great humanity. And of course, everything you saw with fresh and hungry eyes, you drew and carved and whatever, you see. Yes. So it was quite an experience.
It is interesting, the two cultures, isn't it, that you
yes.
lived under, you know,
yes.
the Soviet and then the
yes.
The American, both so different.
Yes.
And yet your response seems to be that they both, you know, it wasn't
yes.
particularly a negative one
no,
with the
no.
Soviet.
No, it's different.
Yeah. Could
different.
Germans remain Germans, having come under these two different occupying powers, do you think, for the amount of time they did, which was something like 45 years, wasn't it?
In East Germany?
In East Germany and West Germany, you know. Were Germans still Germans? Could Germans still remain
oh,
German?
Yes. Yes, yes. But what, of course, when you think of John Cleese, you don't mention the war. that was swept under the carpet, very much in Germany, in East and West. Because after that terrible shock of seeing, going into these village halls and seeing the documentary reels of the opening these concentration camps, that I think that shock won't be out of the system for eons, I would say. It was a terrible shock. And one cannot in any way come to terms with that. This happened in the name of the Deutsche Volk. It was terrible.
Yeah. Did not, was it not more covered in the Russian zone, the concentration camps? Did they not sort of give more publicity to it?
Well, you see, you have to look at it as well. We had no newspapers, or as a student you had no money to buy a newspaper. And you got on with your life in directly in front of you. You had to sort of start with doing your hours of rubble cleaning and then doing your project. In fact, we had to build up the wall of one studio wall in before we even could do our own work, you see, these sort of things. And so I don't think that came very much to the forefront of young people. I think they are too busy getting on with their living. It might sound thoughtless, but I'm thinking of going back in my memory about the young people. We just escaped these awful things and sort of did the first steps to normality. And so we weren't much aware of any historic fact or sorting these things out historically.
When did you come to England, and why did you come to England?
I was very. I became, with all these students, then there was the time of, with all these hippies, you see, and Indian philosophy, and that was a great thing in all the student circles. And I started to learn Hindi. And I had all these sort of Bhagavad Gita and all these things. And I thought, well, I ought to learn English. If I want to go to India, I must learn English. So I came to England in order to learn English. Because I thought, well, there were two things. First, if I do go to England, to India, I have to A, learn English, B, have something very useful to offer. And that is why I started to train as a nurse. I switched over, went to the Red Cross training, and trained as a nurse.
In Germany.
And have my state registration in Germany. Also my state registration in England. So I'm fully qualified. And in order to have something positive to offer when I go over there and see all these wretched poor things. And to learn English. And for that I came to England. And I came 63 after my qualifications in Germany, came over here.
And met your husband?
Yes. Yeah, met him there. He gave me a Valentine. Oh, I have a Valentine. The Valentine showing my Valentine. Yes. I've been here now since.
Have you ever had any sort of anti-German feeling expressed against you?
No. In fact, When I came, and we moved, after we married, we moved into a village here in Garsington, that is a little village outside Oxford. My mother-in-law said, "Well, Karin, it will take you 40 years before you are being accepted in a village." Does that really take that long? Not a bit. They were good to me, they were kind. I went into the Women's Institute, into the RSPCA, into the everything that was going, and held little exhibitions of bygone things in Garsington, which we dug up in our gardens and lived there. Not a bit. I really can't say anything in that direction at all. Yes. Of course, I went as a nurse in industrial nursing, and that was in Morris Motors, where, of course, I when I had men in coming into the surgery, and they were of an age where they probably came from the war, and I said, "Oh, you're German. Oh, how do you feel about that? It's good to talk to someone from the other side," this sort of thing. And very nice indeed, and we were talking about things, and then, of course, where do you come from? Dresden. Oh, some, of course, most of them, they cast their eyes down and feel awful about it. And I find myself in a position as that, well, I'm afraid it had to be done. It's an awful thing that happened. And then both more or less sitting there said, yes, sort of. Not in any way. But then the talk about the dreadful things in the concentration camps, of course, what comes about there, what the Germans did. I said, yes, terrible. We didn't know about it, but then when we were shown in those, then we realized what terrible things were done.
Have you ever taken any particular view, you know, since you've been in Britain, and there, of course, was a lot of coverage of carpet, you know, this blanket bombing, when the statue to Bomber Harris was raised a few years ago. You know, did you have any particular feeling about that?
No, not at all. In fact, we were singing, I was singing for 10 years then called a voluntary Christchurch Cathedral Voluntary Choir. And we had a memorial service for the RAF with Bomber Harris. And I was singing there as well, and also mentioned it to when we saw Lady Thatcher. We saw her, she has one of my statues. And we mentioned it. In fact, Lady Thatcher herself, she was the only one from the cabinet, more or less, who went there to the unveiling. And it was a very controversial issue as such. One thing I find is Bomber Harris's unyieldingness after all this, the time and what he had to do. He had to do a certain task which was not an easy one, to motivate his men to do this. But that after all those years, and after seeing the result of it, that he should be so unyielding, that is sad. That is sad, I'm afraid. But it is, I have no particular anti views about it. It is, I'm much more concerned with the attitude of people when afterwards they can view the effects of their deeds, the attitudes of people, how they react. That I'm far more concerned about it. That war was so terrible, and again, as I said before, it was on the breadth of a hair. It could have gone the other way, so every stops had to be pulled out. And then when I think I mentioned it on the telephone to you, when I see all these children, all hues of colors, none of them would be born. So it is for the rich tapestry of life. We have to thank these men who stopped this dreadful Hitler, this dreadful ethnic cleansing. And now again, what's going on in Bosnia is terrible. Terrible. You see, the diversity of thought, no matter from what corner it comes from, is adding to the tapestry of, rich tapestry of life, I feel. And we all can learn from it. After all, our numbers are Arabian numbers, aren't they? Yes.
What was it like going back to Dresden?
Yes, we had the opportunity to go to Dresden. Before the wall came down, there was a organized saga trip on the in the footsteps of Bach, his life and work, and the Silbermann organs. So we went with a group of musicians and music lovers under the guidance of Peter Herford, OBE, and Sir Dacre, Lionel Dacre, who led the group. We went to Leipzig, Erfurt, Dresden, and we, coming into, from Leipzig, coming into Dresden, of course, I was, it's a strange feeling, not having been back, what I would feel. I was surrounded by a group of wonderful people in that bus, and that was the best for me to go back. When I think of my twin brother, he went back on his own, and I felt very sorry for himself, for him going back on his own. He had no buffer for or cushioning for his emotions there. We came in from Leipzig, from into Dresden, from the back. And there I remembered seeing still the old ruins. The old ruins of the city, because the building program hasn't stretched to the outside of Dresden. It just concentrated on some of the buildings they rebuilt, and of course building houses, new 50s style houses. The whole 15 square miles have been flattened. And they had to build houses, of course, these dreadful 50-ish boxes, but their objective was to give people a roof over their head. So, and coming in from the back there, seeing the old cigarette factory, which of course it was not far from where one of my aunts lived, and we always went into a sweet factory around there where they had these beautiful sort of coconut cookies, which we had as children. And that was still there, that wasn't bombed, it was still in that old Majolica and like Islamic tile patterns. And around the corner there was an old coal merchant, almost, well, unchanged from how I remembered it, with still the heap of coal in the corner, in the same corner. There, only behind the house was a ruin, but the coal merchant was still there, whether it's his son or some or one of the relatives, I don't know. So that was quite stepping back in time, and then driving into Dresden. Along all these houses, there was still the grass growing through and trees from behind it, and the ruins and the blank windows and just the holes there, and still the ruins there as it was. And then you come in nearer the center of the city, and then over the bridges, and then they started rebuilding. Then one sees these 1950s style houses there, and also the these Russian figures with their heroic flags there, all in red concrete, this awful stuff. And the swinger, we drove around then, and then on the Elbe, there was the Brühlsche Terrasse has been rebuilt, and the Hofkirche was in the process of being rebuilt, the scaffolding round, and the Frauenkirche, the dome, the cathedral, there were just these two blackened teeth sticking up and trees growing through there. But the opera house has been rebuilt, beautifully rebuilt. They made a wonderful job of it. In fact, the opera house, we went inside, they showed us all the it was rebuilt as it was. Only two rows of seats have been it has been widened because they put air conditioning in. Wonderful. And they were telling us about they had to dig up old craftsmen who might remember recipes of how to manufacture this artificial marble, because all these inside the marble columns, they were this folk's marble. And I learned how to do that in Munich. And I said, oh, yes, wonderful, all this sort of thing. And I could see, of course, where we lived, that vanished, completely gone. And it's just the white banks of the Elbe, and it's completely vanished. And inside the city center itself and all the sort of the Altmark, some of the old houses are still standing, but most of it was completely rebuilt. But I felt I can't quite say. It churned one up inside. One didn't know how to feel. One didn't know how to feel. It was strange. And I found going with that group of musicians, I was surrounded by these people, which was healing indeed. And then, of course, the music. Going into we went into the Hofkirche, the Hofkirche. My mother sang the Ave Maria just before she died in there. And of course, in the Hofkirche is one of the most wonderful Silbermann organs, and Peter Herford played a concert there. So all these things, I don't quite know how to say.
The death of your mother, you know, in this very traumatic way you found that.
Yes.
And also the aftermath of the Dresden bombardment. Were you able in your family to grieve for your mother?
No, I'm afraid not. So, what I think is when I think of the Hofkirche and her singing the Ave Maria in the Hofkirche, and that to me, I remember her there. And that to me is, I always think of her when I see this picture there, and of the Hofkirche, and that is what I remember, more or less. Just before that was about, I would say, February, Christmas she sang there.
Dresden and Coventry have always been linked, haven't they?
Yes.
In Britain. Have you ever been there to the cathedral?
No, I'm afraid not. I know I know they are twinned with Dresden, and I always meant to go there, and sort of somehow I never went there. Coventry, I went to see the Coventry the cathedral there with the John Piper windows and the but I've never that was before I knew they were twinned with Dresden. So, I haven't been, haven't linked this. But I find the old cathedral and the new cathedral linked, and then the from these two charred pieces of wood which they took out made that cross, and it is very moving. This, it's beautifully done there, and it's awful that people talk to each other.
Do you find it difficult to talk? You know, today you explained to me earlier on that this was going to be quite difficult for you. You know, is it difficult, or does it help at all?
Yes and no. It is. I find it helpful. It is. It will. You see, these experiences are what people otherwise would take with them when they die, and nobody would hear or know. And it is not in any way there to stir emotions. It is probably to see the other side of events. This, and it is very helpful when one can actually talk about it. So. It's very often when people get on with their lives and have events in their lives. I mean, everyone has events in their lives which they have hidden within themselves, and then they might be able to share it or might not. And if they find they can't, it stays deep, encapsulated deep. And today, you mentioned that one person who was unable to open up this deeply buried knowledge of certain experiences, which is not healthy for him, I feel. But with this interview, which you are conducting, it does help me to open memories which will be wholesomely, constructively and positively used, which again is helpful for younger people. So therefore, so it is, it's good, a good thing. There. When my father found us, he put his arm round us, and we all of us, we looked so ragged and burned, and my father smiled at us and said, "It doesn't matter what you have on you. What does matter is what you have in you." Yes.
So that's a lesson for you, is it?
Well, for everybody, really.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Karin, for telling me about your World War II experiences, and in particular, going through Dresden again. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome.